Hello and welcome along to our latest offering here on the Left Wing Back podcast. As always, in association with our very kind sponsors, Curtis Sports, your go-to for all your GAA clothing. Contact Emmett and Shane Moore, and there you get them on Curtis Sports on Instagram. Pádraig Dún Motors, located on the O'Brien Road, your go-to location for beautiful Volkswagens, Fords, Skodas, you name it. He has them there on the O'Brien Road. Ray Whelan Limited, your go-to service for waste management for quite some time now at this particular stage. Murray's Bar and Ballymurphy, your go-to place for a pint down south. Detail Men's Ricardo, they look after you no matter what you're getting suited and booted for. It's definitely confirmation and communion season there at the minute. The lads look after you, whether it's a wedding, whether it's a wake. The lads in detail won't see you stuck. PFD Travel, if you need a bus to a match, whether you're going to the bingo, no matter where you're going, PFD Travel is your bus company. And they now have a 52-seater to bring you around in as well, as all as their lovely luxury coaches. And we want to welcome aboard our new sponsor, the Talbot Hotel in Carlow. They're doing great works there at the minute, upgrading the bar section. And they've recently, in the past few days, opened up the dressing rooms down there at Talbot Fitness. Looks very, very well indeed. We do wish them the very best luck. And the renovation, as you said, that's going to look superb once it's finished. But they're still in full flow. There's pints being served. There's food being served there in the Liberty Tree. So we do welcome Talbot Hotel Carlo on board. And check out the website, talbotcarlo.ie. All right, so great news starting off with. Carlo Senior Hurlers will be playing Division 1 Hurling in 2025. They saw off down by 320 to 218. We'll be chatting to Marty Mouse Kavanagh very, very shortly on the programme. A little bit later on, then we'll be hearing from Brian Scott Kelly, the Carlo footballing legend from Palatine, of course. A great man for a score, especially on the big day. The bigger the day, the better the Scott performed. We'll be chatting to him at a Carlo's clash with Longford this coming weekend. That is at 3 o'clock in Pierce Park. It is tight and tense indeed in Division 4, as it always is. But Carlo are in with a squeak there, should they get a victory. The Carlo Senior Hurlers, for their part, they take on Kildare in Hawkfield at 8 p.m. on Friday night, knowing that they're already in the Division 2A final and guaranteed promotion, as we said. Couple of other big, big shout-outs indeed, namely the Carlo Under 16 Camogie side, who saw off Wexford by 2-9 to 2-8 in the Under 16 Leinster Championship. That's at A level. That's a superb victory indeed. The Carlo Minor Camogie team, they had a draw with Down. And in terms of ladies football action, the Minor and Under 16 sides both took on Offaly. The 16s lost out by a couple of points, and the Carlo Minor ladies footballers don't have a result to hand, but definitely the opposition was awfully in both counts there, and they are moving very, very nicely indeed. Of course, in a couple of weeks' time, the Carlo ladies senior footballers will have the semi-final of Division 4 to look forward to against Fermanagh. So it's all happening, and we have lots to get through. The football leagues are up and running, of course, as well. Check out carlogaa.ie for your latest results and indeed the fixtures. I did hear rumblings of quite a tasty affair between Ballon and Loughlin Bridge in Division 3. And all Loughlin Bridge won that one by 110 to 3-2. I do believe 3 or 4 Ballon players were red carded in that particular tussle. I wasn't added, so I will refrain from commenting on that particular one. But I do believe it was a feisty one, but it always has been with Loughlin and Ballon. And generally they're the best of friends after, definitely from my experience. Anyway, so hopefully that hasn't changed. As I said, carlogaa.ie will give you the fixtures and results. There is promotion and there is relegation. Clonmore, another noteworthy result actually in Division 1 of that Carlo Senior Football League. They saw off Rathfilly by 4 or 5 points there on Friday evening. And all Auckland, I know, had a victory over Palatine. So yeah, lots happening there. And the Bulger Cup in full swing, of course, as well. So we'll kick things off. The next voice you'll hear is that of the one and only Marty Mouse Kavanagh. Okay, so on Sunday, Carlo confirmed promotion to Division 1 Hurling for 2025. They recorded a 320 to 218 victory over Down. Mouse Kavanagh joins me here. Mouse, you're very welcome once more.
Cheers, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
And congratulations. We would tend to do our interviews after games, but Juhi called a last-minute call-up to Junior A football, of all things, with Leishen yesterday. My Junior Alphabet Mouse doesn't go past C. So 20 minutes of that yesterday now had me fairly sore. Although 70 minutes of intercounty hurling, I'd say, is a little bit more difficult. What way are you today?
I don't feel wonderful now, to be honest with you. I'm fairly sore myself after yesterday. It was a fierce battle, and you don't get any easy off Down, and we didn't get any easy yesterday now. But look, we grounded out a win anyway, so we're happy now to be guaranteed promotion now and into a league final. So it's great. It's very positive.
Sure is, sure is. Yourself and Chris in particular, I believe, were marked quite closely. A little bit closer than normal, or are you kind of used to that sort of crack?
Probably a little bit closer than normal, to be honest with you. But it was, look, it was tough. It was, you know, it wasn't anything. It wasn't nothing out of the ordinary anything. No, but it was tough and it was tight. And you know that would that's part and parcel of it. But look, we kept our heads just about so, and we got on with it. And we got over the line, so we're happy.
Yeah, good stuff. And I suppose, is that something most that you're kind of used to? I mean, whether it's Clover County, right? You're targeted. Yeah, there's a target on your back, and it's the same with Chris and Doyle. And sure, look, all the lads have their homework done. They're all capable of stepping up and getting scores now, right? But in particular, you've had that target on your back for a long time, as has Chris. So, like, when it comes to even club stuff, that's the case. Is it just something now that you're kind of used to and you just get on with, or how do you handle that?
Yeah, look, I suppose it's kind of used to it. Yeah, look, it's something I don't pay attention, like I wouldn't be thinking of it before the game or pay attention to it too much, to be honest with you. But look, you deal with it, and you kind of just as I suppose the game starts and as the game goes, you deal to kind of get around with, like, you know, whether that be moving or you know, kind of pushing lads off or whatever to get a bit of space. You know, look, that's part and parcel of it. Or creating space for other lads then, or you know, whatnot, you know. So to be honest with you, I love that side of it too, like, and I kind of relish it, you know, that challenge. So kind of the more kind of get hit and the more kind of it gets down and dirty, the kind of the better it is, kind of in a way, you know. And you kind of have to embrace it that way as well. So, and that goes for all the boys as well, you know. There's no point kind of whinging about it. Get on with it, and you know, kind of give it back as much as you get it, and when you keep it fair as well, like, you know.
Yeah, but like the defender's always the one that has to worry about you. Like, I mean, you play your game, and obviously with that comes a bit of pressure, but it's on your terms. Whereas he's trying to make it not be on your terms, which is already not a game that he wants to be playing from his own point of view. He wants to be playing his own game, getting on the ball, you know, delivering it or whatever, getting the head up, zip, zip, zip. But all of a sudden, well, no, he's a different mindset now. He's actually trying to stop someone, and that probably takes from his game and possibly might give you a bit of an advantage, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you kind of have to play, you have to think that way as well and play to that advantage, and all that he's to kind of doing it there to do a job or whatever. But it's, you know, he'd be kind of focused on you more sort of ball, you know. So if you can make a yard of space, or again, if the ball's coming in, like, they tend to kind of be looking at you more than the ball as well, like, you know. Which I suppose if you can time a run or time a jump or, you know, a flick of the ball at the right time, you'll probably get away from it, if that makes sense, you know. And
Gotcha.
look, I wouldn't like to do it. Like, I wouldn't like to be man marking Chris or James Day or any of these lads, like, you know. So, you know, fair play to the backs. I've not a book, you know. I can't speak highly enough of the backs in general, because it's not a nice job with all the space, you know. And so it's a funny one, but there's lads so good at it as well, like, you know. And Jesus, they're probably don't get enough credit for it, like, you know. Lads are really good at it, and the boys, in fairness, the down defenders yesterday, like, they were really at it, like, and they weren't giving as much, you know, not an inch now. And frustrating, but sure, look, that's it, and that's part and parcel of it, like, you know.
Yeah, you found a way to win. I suppose in previous times you've kind of succumbed to that, and maybe you're losing those types of games. And is that in itself nearly an indication of where you're kind of at now in comparison to where you were, like?
Yeah, definitely. I think something we touched on after the game was, like, it wasn't pretty, but we won, like, you know. And that's a sign of a team, a good team, like. You know, we're down a few bodies, and we're down more bodies now. But then again, the lads that came in, like John Nolan, started his first game yesterday, scored 5 points in play. You know, we have obviously a few more injuries now, but you like Paddy Boland is nearly back here, and Wean's coming back. You know, lads are, you know, it's very, very positive, very strong, and that's what has to be. That you have to create a panel, like, and I think we've done that now. And which, you know, it's great to be going into the game Friday night now. Not really worrying about that as much of our result, like, you know, whether he'll give lads a chance now that haven't got many minutes. It'll be a chance for them lads now to put a hand up for a league final, like. So, you know, the competition for places is very, very positive, you know.
That's what John, the hamstring sniper, is out in force the last few weeks, but
yeah, very much so, yeah. Jesus, it's, well, I don't know what's going on, to be honest with you. It's 6 weeks now to Galway, like, as well, Leinster. So, you know, that, I suppose that round robin is coming around very quickly too. So I suppose, again, it kind of takes that little pressure off now going to a league final, that we're guaranteed promotion now. We don't have to win a league final to get promoted now. So again, you don't really, if these lads aren't that 100% for a league final, you know, there's no real need to throw them in for it, you know. So again, at least and winning yesterday case takes that pressure off of the game Friday night. And then obviously if you had to go into that game Friday night and lost that again, we're looking at same final the following week. So yesterday was a big game and a big for 2 points, especially the way the game panned out, like the way they came back and drew it. And then I thought we showed a good bit of character to push on again, like, which is very positive again.
Yeah, oh, for sure, definitely. And look, as you say, with those injuries, you know, never a good thing to get an injury, but it's definitely better now than what would be a week or two before Galway and trying to nurse it through the whole round robin series, which could put a lad in serious bother.
Yeah, and like obviously, I suppose for the likes of us, Carlo hurlers, like, you know, the round robin is such a competition to look forward to now, like, you know, and everyone's going to want to be playing that because obviously we haven't been playing in a few years, and you know, it's hard to play them teams. So obviously these are the days lads want to play, like. So if it was in 2 or 3 weeks' time, you'd probably have lads, like, you know, probably chancing it, like, nearly to get back. But you have 6 weeks now to get bodies right, and hopefully, look, I'm sure they will. And you know, they'll mind them, and the S&C and the physios will plenty of care there as well, like. So it'll all be okay, hopefully.
Yeah. From your own point of view, August, like how hard is it, like say this time 12 months ago, and you're looking in through the fence and you're not actually hurling? Like a lot of lads would turn around and say, right, fuck off, basically. I'm out of here. I mean, you took your medicine and dealt with it, and you know, things came good at the end of the year, and now look where yous are. But like that can't have been easy. Like there's a core lot of lads that would say, no, fuck that. I'm not hanging around here, basically. You know what I mean? And apologies to our listeners for the language, but I can't really put it any other way than that. I mean, that's how we'd be putting it here over a meeting on the street. So, how hard was that? I suppose.
Just from not playing in the league last year, much of the league.
Yeah,
Is that
yeah.
what
Like
you're
it was
touching on?
yourself and Chris and Jack and a few of yous weren't like, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
It can't have been easy to be looking into the fence with that going on and the boys getting bet as well. Like.
Yeah. Look, it was hard. Look, I suppose we were there in the background. You know, whether we were probably in the back pitch running, like, when the matches were going on or whatnot, like, you know, obviously it's hard. Obviously you want to be playing, like, and but the management just wanted to maybe just give a few extra weeks of a break, like, which probably was looked out, look, probably worked out well in the end. But like, obviously you want to be playing, like, you don't like it's, I hate looking at matches, like, you know, when you could be playing, like, and helping out the boys, or, you know, like working with the boys or whatnot. But again, I suppose what happened in the league last year, I suppose that brought on lads too big time come championship, because you've seen in the championship joint, don't know, a lot of them boys were flung on to the pitch in those big championship games, you know. So that would have stood to them. And like, we've all been there, you know, the young lads and 21, 22 or 19, 18, playing those league games and getting bet well, like, you know, it's not nice. But I think it's kind of something that you kind of have to go through. And again, now look, as you said, 12 months later, look as now we're top of the table. We're promoted with a game in hand, like. So look, it was building the panel, like, I suppose, what the boys were, what the management were looking at doing, and they done that, like, because they said come John McDonough, a lot of the lads would have played a good part of it, like, you know, come especially in the final, like, extra time and the last few games, last few minutes against Offaly, like, I'd say 5 or 6 of the lads were sprung on, like, you know, in a massive occasion, like, you know, like. The world of the pressure on you, like, you know. So it was great to build a panel. But yeah, look, obviously it's not easy to watch in, but like, I suppose you're a lot of miles in the clock too, like, you know, whether you like it or not, like. And I suppose you have to manage that too a bit, like.
Yeah, no, I get you 100%, and look where you are now, as the fella said. But I suppose looking at the optics of the season, how things are moving, yeah, there is quite a transformation, and the lads definitely are vindicated. Like, they took a lot of flak last year, Mullally Christie, all the lads did. Like at one particular point, there was calls for Mullally out, like, during this. And look at the way things, I suppose, have transpired now, and lads stuck with it and all. And you know, that takes a fair set of balls as a management team to adopt that kind of thing as well. You know, because we know the pressure that's on management teams now. If you're not getting the results, doesn't matter where you are, lads will kind of want you out fairly quickly, and players can turn. But you didn't turn, and you probably saw that, I suppose, from the get-go.
Yeah, well, like I suppose what everyone can see, like they can't see what goes on obviously in house, like, you know, and
Yeah.
I suppose that's the main thing, that, like, you know, that once it's what's in, it's once it's all tight and it's all in house and everything's okay there, it doesn't really matter what the outside noise is like, you know. So I suppose that was the key thing, you know. We did There was a plan there in place and everyone bought into it, like, and whether things were going well or weren't going well, like, we stuck to it, like, and that was the big thing. We stuck to it and we believed in it. And luckily we got massive rewards out of it, like, you know, so it couldn't have went any better realistically, like. So, and like I couldn't have, and going into this year now again, it's been a solid start again, like. So you're very 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 positive, and look, it goes very quick too, like. It's hard to believe now we're mid-March and we're 6 weeks away from Galway, and that'll come around very quickly too, like.
And I'll come beyond a couple of those games just very quickly before we do finish up. From your point of view, so you came on, I think, in, was it 2012 was your first year, or was it 2011?
Yeah, it would have been 2012, yeah.
Right, so that I made that, if you're including, what's that about, is it 12 or 13 years playing?
It's about that though, I think, yeah.
And why is you?
2029.
Fair lot of hurling over 29 at intercounty level.
Very much so, yeah, but sure, look, yeah, sure. I remember very well, like, you know, when I got the call in to come in first and that, like, and so it's something I always wanted to do. I couldn't wait to do it, and so it's hard to believe it now, really, like. You know, when you're a young lad and you talk to the kind of older lads of the panel and they said it'll fly, like, you don't really believe them, like, you know. But Jesus, it does fly. But look, been very enjoyable, and we've had a lot of success, like. You know, so it's a lot of going in fairness, but really enjoyable and really enjoying it. So that's the main thing. Once you're enjoying it, that's the main thing.
That's it. But like, not only that, not only have you been playing, but you've been leading it for, Jesus, at least half of that term that we're talking about, like the 12 or 13 years, whatever it is. Like you've been a leader from that point on, like 22, 23 years of age, which is a lot to carry. But like, you know, you've been able to carry it, and you're showing that example, I suppose, to the lads coming through, which is fantastic, because it's not easy for everyone to make the step from that particular age, I think. But look, as I said, look, you've been very good with your time. I said 5 or 10 minutes, we're now a minute 13, but I have to ask you very quickly before I let you go about the Leinster Championship. Is there a game in particular, Mouse, that interests you? Because like you're tucked in nicely there between Kilkenny and Wexford. Would it be either of those games in particular that you'd be kind of looking forward to?
Look, definitely the home games, like, you know. I think Wexford at home would be the one, like, I'd be, because I haven't heard Wexford in Carlow in so in definitely in Championship, like. Always seemingly we've always been hurling down there for some reason, and I think Wexford at home will bring a big crowd. Now, like, the Law will bring a big crowd, but, you know, I think especially the home games, Kenny at home, Wexford at home, and Dublin at home will be massive games. You know, just for the crowd in Carlow and all, and obviously we look, there's nothing better than a sunny day with Dr. Cullen packed, like. It's not better than that, but I'd have to probably say the Wexford game would be the one I'm looking forward to the most, just because just down the border, and just because we played down there a good bit, and it'd be nice to get in Carlow as all, and just always brings a bit of good intensity and a good bit of rivalry there as well, like, you know.
Yeah, and Carlow was competitive in those particular fixtures as well, from my memory. They always have been, you know.
Yeah, and look they're going fierce well as well, but look, like them all, Galway away first, and sure, we went up there in 19 as well in the first game, and we ran them close, you know. And look, I touched on it there. I don't know who he was talking there, or Case Law last week or week four, and I just said performance is the big thing for all the games, and we'll see where that takes us, like. So once we get all the bodies back now and we're fit and ready to go, but we have a league final coming up now as well, and obviously Friday night first, now we have league final. So look, we'll try to get over them now, okay? And look, loads look forward to it, so looking forward to it now.
On one light note, right, just to finish up on this, I'm led to believe a member of the panel got a phone call from someone asking, was the game going to be in Bahana on Sunday? So this petition must have carried a little bit of weight somewhere.
I know, yeah, it's massive.
True,
Oh, stuff. We may bring him down there someday just for the crack, because geez, that spin up to down is not nice now.
I believe it's not great.
It's not nice now, especially when they can just bring us an area. But anyway, look, they're entitled to do that, so let him on. It's crack.
Another day's work. We wait.
Yeah.
Pat Cody be on the gate the day it's happening anyway. He'll look after it all. Yeah, and he might
Oh,
make us a
cheers.
sandwich as well. Yeah, Mouse, listen, come here. A pleasure as always. Thanks a million. You're very good with your time, and the best luck for the year ahead. All right, lad.
Thanks a million, Kevin.
Now, joining us on the Left Wing Back podcast as we turn our attention to football is a man who was a good man for a score now back in the day. I'd say he'd still do a job for you. He appreciates a good Italian restaurant as well. And he's celebrating a birthday, I think, over the last few days. What an intro. Mr. Scott Kelly, welcome to the podcast. How's things?
Good, Kevin. Yourself?
Ah, sure, not too bad. Now, you're looking fresh, Scott. You're not the 50 yet, I'd say.
No, you were the two of us ended up in the same place there Friday night in a lovely little Italian restaurant over in Atai. My mum and sister took me out for my 46th birthday, not 50. But getting close to it.
You're a few shy of it yet. I said, put me over in the corner. I don't want to be over near that fella, that whole riffraff there.
No, we were in the peasants' corner. You come in. I saw where all the VIPs were going in, Kevin.
Yeah, well, far from Italian restaurants, I was rare. And ones in Italy are definitely a rare occurrence, I suppose. You're spending a bit of time over there this year, Scott.
Yeah, I am. I suppose hadn't really planned on doing a whole lot this year, Kevin, to be honest. I took a year out last year. When I stopped playing, I suppose I went up to St. Lawrence's up in Kildare. And I had two really good years up there. And it was such an eye-opener, Kildare club football. But anyway, went up and did a year up in Shamrocks, up in Muckla. And just wanted to take a year out. And last year I took a year out, enjoyed a bit of family time at home, a bit of golf and different bits and pieces. I suppose I've been tied down for a long number of years, I suppose, between playing and managing. But anyway, to move it on, Atai came knocking earlier this year. And as I say, I hadn't planned to do a whole lot, but I couldn't turn down that opportunity, Kevin. There's not too often a really strong, quality, traditional club comes knocking on the door looking to see if you had any interest. So I had. And luckily, we hit it off, myself and the executive. And that's where I am, started there a few weeks back, so going all good so far.
Deadly stuff, lad. And look, no different to Mr. Hickey there last week. Like, he's down with the Roar of the Stig. You're over in the tie. John Murphy, obviously up to last year, and that was over with Nace. And the regard that clubs have for the Leggy outside of Carlow, sure, that's flattering enough in itself. Sure, isn't it great that you're held in that regard?
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think sometimes players and past players, we don't back each other enough, I suppose, within Carlow, and we don't, I suppose, see how we're viewed outside the county. Like, you look at Joe Murphy, really, like, I think he's still up in Nace this year, Kevin. I'd be fairly sure of that. I hope he is, anyway.
Yeah, actually, to be honest with you, I don't know, because there was all kinds of rumours going around there about a return to All Auckland, different things during the winter, so I didn't know how that panned out, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah, he's back up there, so I'm looking forward. Actually, our first league game is against Nace in 2 weeks' time. But you look at Joe, like, you know, he's there with Nace now, I think he's two or three years, and he's won definitely two championships. And he's won championships actually wherever he's been, Old Auckland, Airog. I don't see a reason, just because you're from a so-called weaker county, that you haven't got the knowledge or how to go about conducting training and managing the team just because you're from Carlow. It doesn't bother me, and as I say, I walked into the Italian dressing room to meet the players, and it was chest out, and here we go. And luckily enough, lovely lads over there, and they've responded well. So all good, Kevin.
That's the job, and best luck for the year ahead. There is an Italian lad over with Fenna. I think Derek Mulhall is with Fenna this year. I don't know, is he kicking with G as well? Is he double jobbing?
He's not, unless, was he playing with Italian, Kevin? I don't think...
Maybe he was at one stage, yeah, up to maybe a couple of years ago anyway. Yeah, it's a familiar enough name.
Yeah. Maybe he's retired, or maybe I haven't seen him yet, because look, we have good numbers in the tie. But didn't know that now.
Yeah. Well, sure, look, we'll move it on a bit anyway. And one of the main reasons I think I brought you here this evening to talk about stuff on the podcast was mainly Carlo's inconsistencies, which have just been, I don't know, I think in recent weeks it's been nearly a small microcosm of an example of things that probably have gone on for the best part of 20 or 25 years, which I suppose, unfortunately, kind of puts you under that net a little bit as well. And it just kind of struck me that, I suppose, maybe bar a couple of years over that period of time, that we've been so wishy-washy and inconsistent. And in that couple of years of a period, if we were getting bet, we were getting bet by just a small bit kind of a thing. And now we're looking at situations where we're winning games. Some of them will win by 4 or 5 points. Some of them will win by 1 or 2. And in others, we're getting bet by 10 in. And in a lot of these games, you're looking at it beforehand, you're thinking, well, we are near enough of equal standard with a lot of these teams. And I don't know if, from your experience playing and looking in, I suppose, for defence now, can you put that down to anything in particular?
No, and like, look, no matter what I say is going to be, I suppose, viewed and dissected, but straight off, the first thing I have to say is, Kevin, I was lucky enough to play with Carlo for 10 or 12 years, or whatever the case may be, but I didn't get out of Division 4, so I'm not going to heap, I'm not going to start dogging or giving out in that respect, because as I said, I spent 12, I have to say, enjoyable years, unfortunately, in the basement league, Division 4, and it's just history is repeating itself year in, year out, apart from the successful year we had with Turlough O'Brien, and that we did get out of Division 4. But it seems to be just history repeating itself constantly. And it was the same back in my time. We had some outstanding wins. And then you'd go into a game that you're expected to win or there or thereabouts, and people are talking about the county you're behind you, and there's all social media going to Carlo, the great team, and the next minute, bang, you're taken straight back down to reality, drinking sad pints, and I better give Mark Carpenter a bit of dig, one of my best friends, but sad pints down there. Do I know what the reason is? There's loads of things, Kevin. First of all, like, you know, no team should like settle for, you know, second best. But we have to understand, I suppose, in Carlow, and there's an awful lot of small and so-called weaker counties, that we don't have the strength and depth as other bigger counties, or should I say bigger counties. And I suppose the best example I can pick out is that generally Carlow teams are small physical units, right? Most of the players, you have your slugger players that are decent size, and these I suppose smaller players are fantastic footballers, there's no disputing that. But unfortunately, if you start coming up against teams that are physically stronger and bigger, and most counties, of the top counties, if they have a good, if they have a quality big size footballer and a quality not so big size, the bigger lad goes in. And you look at all the top teams, they're all huge men now, Kevin. And they suck the energy out of you. Now, you might seem that's a bit crazy because in Division 4, we're all at the same standard, but as regards size, but definitely, you could see, say, in the Carlow-Leash game, however it is, Leash looked more, I was at that game, they looked physically bigger and stronger, but not for the first 25 minutes. And there lies my point that over the course of 70 minutes, the stronger, more physical team battled through, because first 25 minutes, the football Carlow played was outstanding football. But the bigger team eventually wore them down. Now, there was, I suppose, a small collapse there in that as well, Kevin. Am I waffling a bit here? Sometimes, you know, it's hard to break tradition as well, Kevin. And, you know, winning and losing are habits, and they're hard to shake. I know it from being with my own club at Palatine. We were in a bit of a habit and a slump of losing county finals. And in 0-6, we eventually reached the summit. We beat Glavin Clonegal in a game that we should never have won, but there was four or five previous county finals that we probably butchered, two definitely against Aerogue and one against Rath. I could go through them all. But then when we broke the cycle, we didn't win one for another 7 or 8 years, and then we won two, and then we've got another one. I don't know, I think there's a bit of tradition in it as well, and but it's tough on the lads there now, you know. But I suppose the one thing that I found a little bit, I wouldn't say annoying, more so, I don't know, we were a bit naive. We beat Leitrim in a great win, and the next minute, the furore about we're going to get promoted. Thought there was just too much going around the place, to be honest. And I get it, because people, like, just people in this county crying out for success. Get all of that. But sometimes, you know, you just have to keep the powder dry. And that wasn't coming from within the team or the management, you know. But if you're in that team, you know, these are all human beings after all. They're listening to supporters. They're watching social media. And it was a real kick in the teeth. Now, unfortunately, I was training at the same time we were playing Wexford. But I was half listening to Brendan Hennessy. So it was disappointing, and it's disappointing for the lads.
Yeah. But I suppose, here's the thing, right? The frustrating thing about Carlo is that they're inconsistent. And then the positive thing about Carlo is that they're inconsistent. And with that comes a chance against Longford on Saturday at 3 o'clock, which, you know, these are literally the games then that Carlo will go and win. And I remember a great win. I'd say you were there thereabouts for it. Against Longford, I'd say it could be 20 years ago this year, actually. Were you playing that day?
Yeah, in the championship.
Yeah, 4-15 to 1-16. It was a mad game.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. And totally agree with you, Kevin. We're not a bad football team, Carlo. Like, unfortunately, look, it's not the end of the world. We were beaten by Wexford, a better team based on the day. And on any given day in Division 4, and I've always said this from the start, I suppose I was playing golf with somebody and asked me how would Carlo do in the league. And I said, yeah, in fairness to crew and the management team, Simon Ray and all the other lads that have been in there, they've built a decent squad of players who look very happy in their surroundings and want to be in there. But on any given day, any team in Division 4 can take points off another team. I suppose Leash are the exception this year. They're definitely going to get promoted. They're probably slightly a better Division 4, just a tad better than a Division 4 team. I'm not too sure how to fare out in Division 3, probably okay. But they've went through it unbeaten. But every year, Kevin, if you watch the results in Division 4, everyone will take points somewhere off another team. That's just the way it is, really.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Like, and everyone has said it week in, week out on this year's podcast about the consistent thing. And Leash have found that pattern of consistency. Carlo haven't. And, you know, I mean, again, not to be coming across like, say, to downbeat or whatever. I do think they have a great chance this weekend. And the shackles are off now, and they can go do it. And I suppose the other thing is that it's kind of out of their hands a little bit with results. There's so much permutations. I've never seen that in as mental. Yeah. As the last two rounds as they're set to be, because I think there's four teams in with a squeak of that second promotion spot. You know, absolutely. It's mental.
Absolutely, Kevin. And like I'm not saying that Carlo can't get promoted, but it is out of their hands. But they'll find it tough up against Longford, but there's no reason why they can't go up and win that game. Carlo have every much as good of footballers as Longford. The thing is now, mentally, where are they? I'd be hoping there's a bit of a kickback, that there's a bit of disappointment. The players are hurting. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they beat Longford. But we have a habit in this county, Kevin. And I talk about history repeating itself. When we're going well, everyone gets claps on the back. But when we're not going so well, players get dogged, negative talk. We're a small county. What do you expect? I did say we're one of the so-called weaker counties. We have that name for a reason. but there's no reason why you can't break that and aim to get to Division Three. But yeah, they have a decent chance. Wouldn't rule it out. But they've done great work. In fairness, I'm saying it again. I've went and I've watched it. I've only watched a few games, Kevin, because I'm going to be straight with you. I have no interest in watching county football anymore. I really don't. Barrett's the top quality teams now, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. But call a spade, Kevin. I know the GAA have went about doing something this year, putting a panel up, but this, the bird is flowing. Like, this should have been, they saw this coming 7, 8, 9 years ago, and I have no doubt the reason they're doing this is, and I'm not saying it in a bad way, is finance, because I'm sure numbers have to be down all over the country for watching football matches. It's my own opinion whether that stands for much.
I think you're spot on, and it ties in with something that Chris Blake actually said to me. Chris was on with us live from Australia. They had a county finals last year, and he said, I don't know, was he talking to Dixie Keogh? And the two of them said, like, today the inside corner forward is nearly gone. I mean, you know, it's just, and I get the sense that that's possibly maybe where you're coming from as well. When you have these blankets, the kind of space that you might thrive upon, and the battle you versus your opponent, you know, it's not quite there now because you have that blanket in front of you. And you're right, your attendances are down. I mean, you can see it in both codes that Carlo are playing in alone. And if you look on the TV, I heard the lad saying it the other night with Limerick and Tip, that I think there was 1,500 tickets or something sold up to that morning before people came up to the game itself. And even take Páirc Cuíve out of it, I mean, that's a fairly damning indictment. And another thing to support your particular argument there is, I mean, if you look at the video clip, I don't know if you've seen it now, but I shared it before you were coming on there, when you scored a goal against Laois in 2004, look at the crowd that was at Netwatch Cullen Park. Yes, it was a championship game, but I can guarantee you, if that was a fixture in championship this year, you wouldn't see half that crowd like.
No, 100%. And it's gas. I remember that day. Was it 0-4, Kevin? Was it?
0-4. Laois were coming in as Leinster champions. I think Carlo had actually won that game against Longford beforehand. Yeah. And I think that set it up then. And boy, Jesus, lad, that was... That was some day.
To be honest, I remember we possibly did the warm-up. I think we did the warm-up in the Carlo Hurling Club. And I could even hear when we were doing the warm-up, like, sure, the car parks were all packed, but you could hear the buzz and you could hear the crowd. It was a little bit surreal because generally you don't get them kind of crowds. But I remember we came out of the dressing room and I was just taken aback by the actual size of the crowd. But I remember I was trying to get a few frees in, practicing, and generally in the scoreboard end, when most of the time when I was taking frees, like, you might see 5 or 6 or 7 heads back there, but you definitely see cement, or back in the day, the grass banks, right? But all of a sudden, when I was practicing freeze, I was looking up and all you could see was, like, heads everywhere. Like, all you could see was the whites of their face. And I was like, it was actually a little bit different kicking into the post, because the scenery had changed dramatically. But to see the crowd in Dr. Cullen Park that day, we were so unlucky, really, that day. We played really good football. I think up to half time we were leading, and I know maybe you might correct me in this, Kevin, were we bet by 4 or 5 points in the end? Something, it was a tight game, and I know, like, people might say it wasn't that tight, but it was, because Chris Conway, he kicked definitely 2 or 3 frees right at the end, I'm sure, you know. But Kevin, you couldn't go, and I don't want to seem like an owlad, or I don't want to be seen to be negative. But it's painful to watch. I remember I went in maybe 2 years ago to a Carlo game, and I'm not labelling my own county this. It's right across the board, bar the top couple of teams who are just better at transitioning the ball and moving it faster, so it doesn't look like they're defending with the blank defences. But I happened to go into Dr. Cullen Park, and Mark Harpender, Brett Meehan, and Barry English were sitting. So I went up and sat down beside them, like, you know, I hadn't seen them, like, three good friends, like, and three lads I would have played county with and played against the Blues, and we've always had a good connection. But we actually started laughing in the second half that we were actually crunched on four seats, kind of facing each other, having a group chat and looking out onto the pitch, maybe the odd time. And I think the game was actually tight enough, but it was just constantly going back and going forward. But there's no creativity anymore, Kevin, in GAA. Like, I was at a juvenile game. It was my own club, Palatine. And I'm not going to say the other club because I might be I don't want to be seen to be talking about anyone. But it was an under 16 game. And the coach of the opposition team was roaring in to under 16s about systems and what to do and retain possession. Like, if you're talking to young lads like that, coaching young lads about retaining possession, don't give away the ball, like, it's crazy stuff. You should be encouraging kids, you know, to be looking for good kick passes, to be practicing at home, putting spots on the wall and constantly kicking and kicking and kicking. But, like, to be talking to youngsters about defensive systems and where to be and what to do, I'm saying to myself, where are we going as regards an organisation? Like, but unfortunately, it started with county, seeped into club football. But I know this isn't going to go down overly too well, but it's an easy out for an awful lot of managers.
So yeah, no, well, look, you're right to be honest there, Scott, and it's part of the reason why I give you a shout as well, because I know your form. You know, we've crossed paths with Casey Lohr previously and stuff, yeah. And that's why we put this platform out here. It's all about honesty and an opinion, and you can only say it as it is, and you will do that, even if other lads might.
As I say, Kevin, I have the height of respect for everyone in the GAA. Like, I'm a roaring GAA man myself from a huge GAA family. Like, but it's not criticism; it's constructive criticism. But, like, it's very easy. People are going to say, that's very easy to say that. But sure, anyone can manage a team, put 14 players behind the ball and keep it nice and tight. But you're showing an awful lot of fear, I think. You're also basically saying to your players, I don't trust you in playing an open system.
You're not skillful enough, maybe.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I see loads of skillful footballers in Carlo over the years. And since this new regime has came in, you don't really get to see their skills anymore because, number one, they're told not to do it, I'm sure. And number two, they're afraid to do it, because if you give away a ball now or you go to look for an intricate pass to open up a defence and it goes wrong, you're deemed a liability. One or two of them and you'll get the call, like, you'll get chopped. That's the way it is.
Like, I think, Scott, a lot of those systems are to cover up bad coaching, and it mightn't necessarily be the current senior coach that's the bad coach, but maybe possibly going up along that level of coaching isn't quite there. I actually see it quite close to home though this year. Obviously, I'm up in Clayton here the last couple of years. And another guy, I don't know, did Niall English play in Wash County with you, did he?
I think I would have played 1 year with Niall English. And the year I played with him was actually the most enjoyable year, because it was the years that I played against him was the problem, because he was an awesome defender who would take your life.
Yeah.
But take your life in the right manner, no nonsense, not a whole lot of chat on the football field, a roaring Blues man to do anything to win, but didn't like going in on him, to be honest.
Yeah. So anyway, the point is, right, he's been coaching a crop that have come up along, obviously, over the past 10 years or so. And I got roped in to play a junior A game yesterday. Now, my junior alphabet, Scott, doesn't go past C most of the time and hasn't for a long, long time. But lads were stuck yesterday, so I went over and played a bit of junior A for 20, 25 minutes or so. And it was my first time seeing a lot of the chaps that are now eligible to play adult football for the first time, who Niall actually coached. And what struck me was, like, Well, obviously, with adult football will come a little bit of learning, no matter how good you are. But you see a lot of guys that will come to adult football and they don't, like, they're lacking basic skills and basic, I suppose, footballing brains. And with that group of lads, I saw lads that were well coached and capable and ready to make the step. But I've seen so many other examples of it where it's not there. Like, maybe something so simple, like soling off both feet, hand passing with both hands, you know, kicking off both feet. All, like, what you would declare simple enough things, but they're lacking. Like, kicking a point off both feet from in front of the goal 25 yards out. Yeah. And I suppose, where am I going with this? Yeah, I'm trying to maybe endorse what you're saying and maybe offer up a reason as to why we're seeing what we're seeing. And I don't want to be having a go at parents and that either, because, you know, at the end of the day, they're giving up their time and they're trying to coach into a good level. And sometimes, I suppose, you see situations where people have been through there, they played the game, I mean, and they can offer up maybe a little bit more. But then there comes the whole thing where the onus is on the kid to practice as well. So I don't know where we're right and where we're wrong. Certainly a debate, you know.
100%, Kevin. And as I say, you're not offending parents or you're not offending coaches or whatever, because this is a culture now. People don't know any different. This is what they see. This is what they think is the right thing to do. I remember now, but it's going back maybe 2 or 3 years, maybe 2 years ago, I went in to watch Carlo and Wicklow in the league. It was actually McConville's. I think it was first game under lights. Was that last year, Kevin? Was it or 2 years?
It was last year, I think. Yeah, yeah.
I think Carlo, did we draw it? Did Wicklow have one or two men sent off, or did Carlo have one or two?
I think we drew in the end.
But I was walking in late and I came in at the cannery end and I happened to see Muckle Keaton, Anthony, and Burr Hennessy Senior, and it'd have awful time for them, like, you know, the Palais Rog thing, but to be just good time, and I've good chats with them, and obviously out in the golf club and stuff like that. But I remember there was a passage of play where Carlo were going back and across, and nobody was willing to take a chance, a shot from distance. And I remember Burr just turning around and basically saying, "Skiok, you and Muckle, like, wouldn't have lasted in this. You probably wouldn't have been picked, but you definitely wouldn't be watching the ball going from side to side." But, like, if you see a lad now, and in fairness to Dara Foley, like, he's a really good kicker of the ball, and I'm sure there's other lads in there. But if you see now lads taking shots from 40 yards, 45 yards out from the side, if they have the distance and it goes wide, they're deemed a liability again. Just, yeah, like, somebody, some tonto is what I call them, as regards, don't take a shot from outside the scoring zone. Well, who made the scoring zone? Or who is this a thing that was designed by Croke Park, or was it designed by an Ulster coach that there's a scoring zone and you have to get inside there? Probably what players should be doing is constantly kicking and trying to kick the ball harder and harder, get the technique right, that you don't have to be in the scoring zone, that if you get a yard of space and you're 40 yards out and you're in front of the post, you take the shot. And if it goes over, it goes over. If it goes wide, it goes wide. You're not going to get home drawn and quartered, like. But there's a fear now of kicking balls wide because, again, don't do it unless you're between the 14 and the 21 in front of the posts. Don't kick it.
And everyone's scoring zone is different. This is the thing, like, you know, some lads, obviously their scoring zone is the 21, maybe in other lads' cases, the 14-yard line, but there is those who can kick from 45 yards and quite comfortably given half a yard. And that's the big thing, that we're kind of not pigeonholing everyone into, I suppose, having a shared limit, that everyone has their own, and getting to understand that and doing that on an individual basis, I think, rather than collective, yeah?
Yeah, like, I just don't get it, because you're basically saying to the players, we're going to do the thinking for you. We're going to envisage all these plays, and this is what you're going to do. You get to this point, you give it to A, I'll give it over to C, B, D, E, moved across. And if we get a shot at goal, so be it, but make sure the other team don't have it. But when I was growing up anyway, it was whoever scored the most won the game. So I don't understand why people put so much effort into defensive systems. I get it. Yeah, if you're going to build a house, you have to have a good solid foundation. But you don't need it if you're building, like, you don't need a foundation for the Eiffel Tower. Like, do you know what I mean? You have a good defensive system. You have trust in your backs, and you maybe drop back a player or two. But like, look, here's an example, Kevin. Who loves watching Armagh playing football? Now, there's a team who I think, and I have to give credit to Kieran McGeaney. You watch them lads moving the ball through the foot. Like, it's actually, they're one of the teams, if I knew they were on the telly, I'd sit down and watch Armagh. Now, they're very close to going back up to Division 1. They're challengers in Ulster. And them lads take shots from out the field. Yeah, they have their defensive structure, so I'm not saying they don't have a defensive structure. But God almighty, tonight, it's taken about 15 years, it's taken 10 years for the GAA to say, we have a huge problem. And I'm not saying as regards to GAA, you know, you'd hear people from outside the GAA, money grabbers and money this and money that. They're not. The amount of good work that the GAA do, the amount of money that's given back to clubs and stuff like that, for all sorts. Like, where would this country be without the GAA? Like, you know, here's myself and yourself chatting away for an hour here. There's probably a couple of hundred lunatics going to listen to us two ranting and raving. Do you know what I mean? But anyway, I just feel that I'd say they've looked at attendance figures, they've looked at all sorts of things and said there is something seriously wrong. And there is. It's quite sad because creativity is gone. There's no such thing now. Like, you pick up the Independent before games and you're reading about defensive systems and who's going to crack first and this, that and the other. Like, you don't hear about, like, the inside cornerback, Mark, who's going to win this one, who's going to win the aerial duel of the midfielders. That's all a thing of the past, like. Do you know, with regards, sure, like, I've often said, you're playing in them defensive systems. You get the ball and you pass it to a lad 3 yards beside you and he might give it back to you, but you will get it back 5 or 6 times in the space of 2 minutes. But you mightn't have made a whole lot of ground or got a sword. Again, I know there's people that are probably looking at this and saying, yeah, right, Scott, whatever. It's my own opinion, that's all it is. And my opinion at the minute is that there is serious, serious issues with both codes. And people who are starting to say that hurling is far better to watch than football are absolutely talking through their behind, because I read Eddie Brennan, I worked with Eddie for years in Portlaoise there, and I find him a solid pundit, and he's actually an excellent manager as well, apart from being a fantastic hurler. But he called it out today and Independent, like, you watch the Limerick, sure, like, all you have is big scrums now. 5 or 6, 6 or 5 lads get around the player, suck every bit of energy out of them, over carrying. And it's the same in football. Like, you know, sure, why would somebody now want to go up and catch a big high football and have the crowd going, wow? Do you know, because straight away he comes down, there's about 14 players around him and he can't stir anywhere. Like, man, oh man.
Yeah, lots of change needed. And there is appetite for that. And there is a lot of people saying the very same thing, whether it'll be listened to or not. I mean, I'm not so sure. It's interesting on the steps one. That's definitely a problem in both codes, I suppose. Rumour has it you took Freeze out of the hand because you couldn't gain a yard or two when you kicked it off the ground.
No, we better settle this one. The reason I didn't take them off the ground was because I was actually not good at them. And whoever came up with the idea that you could take Freeze out of your hands, that man should be put onto this panel of players, because only for that man, whoever says, you know what is that, it's start taking Freeze out of the hands. But look, do you know what, there's people, traditionists like it, you know. I have to say I loved watching dead ball kickers off the ground. Like, it's such an art, like, it really is. It's not an easy thing to do, and if you say, like, in the last 15 years, Michael Murphy and say Brian Sheehan of Cork, or Brian Sheehan of Kerry. Now, and I have to give Simon Ray from Carlow off the ground. it looked like they were doing it effortlessly, if that, and I often tried it myself and it was a waste of time. And then when I'd get taken, try and kick it harder, it was getting worse and worse. So it's, luckily they changed that, and they probably suited me a little bit better out of hands.
You were handy enough with them. And you know what, Scott, I'm conscious because we're definitely going to bring you back for my time in the Gansey whenever that comes back around. It was a very popular series we started off with, and we haven't revived it for about 2.5 years. So I think we might save a lot of that good stuff for then. And no doubt there is a couple of good stories. Now, I have to give a few little teasers and spoilers away. I have a question actually first. That comes in from Lee Gordon, a good lad that you would know fairly well. And he wants to know, what was the best point you ever kicked? He reckons it was one against Port Leash and Dr. Cullen in a club game.
I suppose before I answer that, Kevin, right, I was always conscious of one thing, and I used to get a few headlines for scores and stuff like that, but like it was always other people on my team that had done the hard work to work the ball up the field and then for somebody to get clobbered to get a free. So I always said that there was a bit of responsibility in it. Apart from getting the score, you're actually trying to finish a movement that we were just after getting a free. So I suppose probably three stand out. The first one, you'll definitely laugh at this. We were playing O'Hanoran's in a league game in Palatine. Oh, Jesus, it's definitely 20, 25 years ago. My father was Gus. He used to always do umpire. So it really suited me sometimes because, you know, if there was a ball 50-50, his arm was gone up even before I kicked it. But anyway, Sausage, John Brennan kicked out a ball, and it definitely was in my half of the field, but we had a gale force wind. And I just said, here, fuck it, I'm just going to let fly with this. You know, sure, if it ends up in the full in around the square, you wouldn't know what happened. But the ball just went for miles and miles and miles. And to this day, Paul Tracy might have a joke in the clubhouse that, before it had left my foot, like about 65 yards out, my father had his hand up in the air like that. But I suppose another, probably two ones that stick out, Kevin, I suppose, was we were playing Clare in a National League game in Carlow, and we were playing against a strongish enough wind, and the game was level. I suppose it was basically the last kick of the game, and I just caught it perfect, and it was one of those ones that I drew it way in, and it was just constantly coming. I was like, sometimes I used to look at these and I was saying, please.
Into the Blues then, Skiok, yeah?
Correct.
And you was your cousin in the goal, first cousin in the goal for Clare?
Correct. So actually, I don't know what was more happier about, the actual free or that my first cousin was just after being sent back to Clare packing by myself and my team. And I suppose, obviously, the final one that stuck out was against when we played Port Leash in the first round of the Leinster Club Championship. Nearly two frees from the exact same position on the sideline. Now, we were beaten comprehensively, but it was probably getting close to one of my last games playing in the PAL jersey at senior level. And obviously there was people that I would work with from Port Leash, so I knew there was a good crowd. They just came off right, Kevin. Sometimes these, they could go arse as either. My mother's going to kill me now for, why did you say that word and why did you say this? She'll probably be saying the rosary over me cursing like this, but anyway.
And the goal against Leash has to go as well. Sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you know, the thing about that game, believe it or not, was... I didn't start against Longford. I came in at half-time in the Longford game, and I did particularly all right. I think I kicked two or three points from play, but it was enough to get me in for the Leash game. But, like, it was some buzz, Kevin. That was, like, they were really good days, like a full Dr. Cullen Park. And, look, do you know what? We lost the game. Yeah, we were disappointed. You know, you go down, all the pubs are packed in Carlow. You go in and have a few pints, and you know, there were good days. Like, don't get me wrong, I won very little with Carlo. We won the Auburn Cup, but Christ above, we had great days. And like, I've great friends from like all the Aero lads, the Blues lads, you know, Raffili lads. You know, you meet them now, and you'd meet the likes of Willie Quinlan, Sean Kavanagh, Johnny Nevin, Mark Carpenter, like the Brian Carberry. These are all, including my own clubmen, Brian Farrell and Joe Byrne, like, these are all top quality footballers, these lads, like the Hayden brothers, Jody Morrissey. I know there's lads I'm leaving out, but geez, these were incredible footballers. But unfortunately, you know, it just goes to show what's required, Kevin. Mm. But I had good times. I thoroughly enjoyed it, won very little. But you know what? You reach a stage, Kevin, in life where it doesn't make a difference what you won or lost. I know you're going to say that's very easy for me now to have three senior championship medals, and it was a killer losing so many, and it's easy for me to say this now that I have three medals in my back pocket. They don't mean a whole lot to me really anymore. It's nice to say you won them, but it's more so about the camaraderie and the times you had. There's loads of players that aren't lucky enough to be involved with top quality clubs. You know, they're born into smaller clubs. That doesn't make them any lesser footballers. But it really doesn't make a difference to me now as regards what I did as a footballer or what I won as a footballer, because I lost way more than what I won. But I can assure you I made way more friends than what I lost, like, you know, so.
Super stuff, and a great way to finish it up. But best luck picking your best 15 for the White Time Leganza thing whenever we have you on as well. That won't be an easy one with some of the names you're after a name. And now I can't let this episode end without getting clarification on something.
Here we go.
Tommy Wogan reckons that he's the reason why you started wearing steel toe cap boots to work.
If you want to put
clarification on that for us, you have the floor.
I was actually, believe it or not, do you know the ad in the, I don't know what ad it is, where the all-time guard is doing a checkpoint, is it the Kit Kat, and he's waiting for and the next minute. But anyway, I must have been busy in work one day, and I picked the very back end of Beyond to do a checkpoint where there wasn't going to be a whole lot coming through. But of course, I'm probably end up going to get the sack now, but you can see the lightheartedness. But on came Tommy Wogan anyway, and when he was driving off, like, we were, of course, I was only too late to meet somebody from Carlow to start talking about football, because it used up my time on the checkpoint. But then when he was driving off, he nearly fucking drove over my toes. I think I could have been a player, so I'm not too sure if he actually did it deliberately or not. But anyway, Tommy, you know, I was late to see him coming along, because he's a very knowledgeable man about football and he's enjoyable, you know. And it's amazing, like, Tommy involved in Air Rogue, and, you know, myself involved with Palatine. Like, you know, it's so important. When you're playing at the time, it's all about winning. But, like, Jesus, like, you look at Air Rogue and the Blues and all these are all great clubs, Tinrail and Raffiddy. They're all good stock in these people, like, you know. Mm-hmm. It's amazing when you're a player, you have to, I think I found myself telling lies, wanting to hate players before I went out onto the field just for something. But you look at these are all sound lads you'd meet them for pints afterwards, and you'd have to say yourself, geez, he's not a prick after all, like, you know. But anyway,
it's not in your nature, so you are who you are at the end of the day. Yeah. Skjock, it's been absolutely brilliant, and I'm looking forward to this My Time in the Ganzi episode whenever we get to do it, because you know what, I think people have got a real flavour of it here now, but we better keep it in the can for the series itself. So look, on that note, I want to thank you for your time, and I want to say the very best luck indeed with a tie this year, and happy birthday once more, boss.
Kevin, finally, I want to say it's gas. You know, when it started off first, I was watching your podcast, and I was saying, don't know about this really, but I'm really after warming to it, and I actually enjoy it now. So the best of luck to you, because you do an awful lot there to promote the good things in Carlow GAA and be positive. And as I say, you know, hopefully Carlow get a win against Longford and they're still in the hunt, but well done to yourself, because, you know, it keeps people watching and interested, and, like, they're probably turning off the iPad as we speak right now and saying, I can't get that 20 or 30 minutes back of my life after listening to that Red Lad from Hal. But anyway,
they'll be after listening to that stage, Skjock, it won't matter. Thanks a million, lad. Mind yourself.
Kevin, we'll talk to you.
And thanks very much again to Brian Scott Kelly. What a character and some great stories there. And many more to come, no doubt, when we do get around to chatting again. And thanks to Mouse Kavanagh as well. Proper good conversation there with Mouse also. And very, very honest, as always. The very best luck to all our teams next weekend and indeed over the coming weeks. And thanks once more to our kind sponsors, for whom, without this, it would not be possible. Talbot Hotel and Carlo, come on with us as of this week. Curra Sports, Porrington Motors, Railwheel Unlimited, Murray's Bar and Ballymurphy, Detail Men's or Carlo, PFT Travel, and Art Spas. Thanks again to all our sponsors. Thanks to all our listeners. And if you are with us on Spotify and Apple, please hit the subscribe or follow button, turn on notifications, and you will be notified as soon as our episodes drop. Until next time, take care.